Today's text is from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. In these verses, we'll continue to explore the reality of our worship through the words of Revelation. We'll focus on the reality of heaven that we experience through the Lord of Resurrection. Let us first recall the heavenly reality that we have seen in Revelation 4. Apostle John saw an open door in heaven and entered heaven in the Holy Spirit, following the voice of Jesus telling him to come up. As soon as he entered, he saw God sitting on the throne, and he described God's glory through various jewels. These jewels represent the glory of the saints and the church who have been saved in Jesus and united with him. In other words, they signify that the church of Jesus shines and lives forever in one glory with a triune God. In the fourth verse of the book of Revelation, there are 24 thrones surrounding the throne of God. Sitting on these thrones are 24 elders wearing white robes and gold crowns on their heads. These elders represent all the saints whom Jesus Christ has saved. They wear holy robes that have been washed in the blood of Jesus and sit on the thrones, serving God for eternity as royal priests of heaven. This is the reality of our worship right now. God seats us all on thrones, crowns us, and lets us worship Him. In verse 5, the Holy Spirit is before the throne. In verse 6, there is a crystal-like sea of glass. In Revelation chapter 15, we see God's people praising Him by the sea. The crystal glass sea reveals that all those who oppose God and His people have been defeated and judged. As a result, the turbulent sea is no longer our reality. Instead, we can now worship God for eternity in a glassy sea that is as calm as a crystal mirror in front of His throne. This means that neither sin, death, nor the power of Satan have any control over us. Even though we may still face challenges and hardships on earth, we have already emerged victorious with Jesus and can now sing the song of the Lamb while praising God in the crystal-like sea of glass. Apostle John saw God holding a scroll in His right hand in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. The scroll in God's right hand has words written on both the front and back, and it's sealed with 7 seals. The original Greek word for this scroll is Biblion, which means book. The English word Bible comes from this word. The scroll represents God's word and contains His decrees regarding salvation and judgment. In Hebrews 10, Jesus says He came to fulfill God's will as written in the scroll. He also says that everything written on the scroll points to Himself. In other words, the scroll is the Bible that points to Jesus and the gospel of salvation that Jesus fully accomplishes. Therefore, no one but Jesus can open the scroll because He's the only one who can achieve everything written on it. Revelation chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that He can open the scroll and its 7 seals." Apostle John wept greatly when he witnessed that no one could open the scroll or break the seal. He knew that no sinner on earth, nor the 24 elders, the cherubim, or the tens of thousands of angels worshiping God in heaven were worthy enough to fulfill God's plan of salvation entirely. This made the Apostle John cry out loud in despair. However, there was another reason why Apostle John cried out loud. After hearing a voice telling him to come up, he entered heaven's open gate and saw God's throne. He witnessed the glory of God, the Holy Spirit as seven spirits, and the 24 elders and the cherubim. But there was still one more being he had yet to see, the most precious one. Our Lord died on the cross to save us and was resurrected on the third day. If we enter heaven but do not see Jesus or meet him, we will have no choice but to mourn greatly. Heaven without Jesus is not heaven. It is the same today as it was before. If we do not meet Jesus, if Jesus is not with us, if we do not see Jesus, we have no hope. I hope that God allows us to always to meet Jesus, see Jesus, and live with Jesus by faith. Therefore, may our sorrow always turn into joy. While Apostle John was crying loudly, a surprising scene followed. In verse 5, one of the 24 elders declares, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." "Don't cry," said one of the elders. "The one who was born as a descendant of David from the tribe of Judah has conquered. He will come and open the scroll and its seven seals." This message is for those crying because they cannot meet or see Jesus. The elder reminds them that the descendant of David has already won. The resurrected Lamb, Jesus Christ, takes the scroll from the right hand of God and opens its seven seals. Jesus accomplished our salvation through his death and resurrection. He now rules over all the earth and heaven. He has received all authority for salvation and judgment from God and sits on the throne as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As a result, all the saints will live with the resurrected Lord in heaven for eternity. So there is no need to cry anymore. We should rejoice as we look at the resurrected Lord sitting on the heavenly throne. This is the most important reality we must cherish in our worship service today. The fifth verse and the following verses 6 and 7 are the most dramatic climax of all chapters 4 and 5. They reveal the central reality of what heaven looks like and the reality of our worship. It's important to consider verse 5 carefully. It states, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered and will open the scroll and its seven seals." After these words are proclaimed, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has reached the resurrection glory, appears as strong as a lion. However, it's worth noting verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. "And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Apostle John saw a lamb standing between the throne and the four living creatures among the 24 elders. This was the same lamb that was slain early on, and after declaring that the Lion of the tribe of Judah had conquered, the victorious Lord, who had attained resurrection glory, appeared as a slain lamb. It's truly amazing and humbling to witness this sight. The lamb who was slain for our sins is the Lord of glory, who has conquered sin, death, and the power of Satan. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the victorious Root of David. He is God our Savior. Jesus accomplished everything for our salvation. As the mighty God, He became a man like us and took on our sins, shedding His blood and dying for us. He is like the Lamb who loved us and was killed to save us. He was led to the slaughter, so helpless, but He conquered all. The glory of Jesus is shown as the Lamb who suffered and was killed early. He has now risen from the dead, ascended to the heavenly glory, taken the scroll of God, opened its seals, and rules on the throne as the Lord of salvation and judgment. Every time we gather to worship on the Lord's Day, we have the opportunity to meet our Lord, who has conquered everything and reached the glory of resurrection. However, we must not forget that we, too, are conquerors in Christ. Even though we may seem weak like lambs being led to the slaughter, we have the victory because Jesus has already won the victory for us. We are united with Jesus, and our strength, power, and victory come from the slain Lamb, Jesus Christ. Even if we face suffering and persecution in the world, we are those who overcome together with Jesus and will one day be resurrected together to attain the ultimate victory and glory in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Romans chapter 8 verses 36 and 37. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Dear believers, let us always remember that on this earth we may face trials and tribulations, but we can overcome them because of Jesus Christ. He loved us and saved us, even to the point of sacrificing His own life. Our strength lies in our faith in Him. Who can conquer sin, death, and the power of Satan other than us, the saints who believe in Jesus and abide in Him? Our victory and strength are found only in Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain for us. His resurrection is the ultimate proof of our triumph over sin and death. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 22 through 24. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, may seem like a stumbling block and foolishness to the world, but to us believers, He is the power and the wisdom of God. In today's text, Jesus, who is also known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, appears as the Lamb who was slain early. We don't see this as stumbling or foolishness, but rather, our hearts overflow with love, grace, gratitude, and joy towards Christ. We must worship Him by giving praise and glory to the Lamb, because He became the Lamb who was slain early for our sins. Now as the victorious King of glory, He sits on the throne of God and rules over all. Jesus is our glory, gratitude, joy, satisfaction, and pride forever. He lives even now after His resurrection and ascension, and sits on the throne of heaven, ruling over all things. Therefore, we should rejoice in Him. But why is Jesus called the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David? It is because this title refers to the Messiah, the promised Savior in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. This word of promise signifies that Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will come as the true Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with a breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Jesse is the father of David, from whom the true Messiah will be born. The Holy Spirit will be poured on him, and he will rule his kingdom with righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul affirms that Jesus is the Son of God, the true Savior, and the Christ was born as a descendant of David in fulfillment of the promises made in the Old Testament. However, it was also prophesied that Christ, the Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the true Savior who would come as a descendant of David, would also come as the Lamb that was slain. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 6 through 8. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who was considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Jesus took upon himself the burden of our sins and punishment. He suffered and died like a lamb being led to the slaughter, and offered an eternal sin offering on our behalf. Through his blood, we have been redeemed from all sin, once and for all eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you are ransomed for your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The Lamb Jesus Christ, who saved us with his blood, resurrected, ascended to heaven, took the scroll of God, and opened the seven seals. It is a graceful and magnificent scene. In verse 6 of today's text, it says, "He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." We have already examined the seven spirits, representing the Holy Spirit sent to all churches on earth, symbolized by the seven churches. In other words, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be with his church, watch over it, and work throughout it. However, Jesus not only has seven eyes referring to the seven spirits, or the Holy Spirit, but also seven horns. Horns in the Bible indicate royal authority and power. In other words, he shows himself as the Lord and King of his church. The King and Lord of our church are Jesus Christ. Even now, as the resurrected Lord of glory, Jesus rules and cares for our church and its saints. Therefore, verse 6 of today's text shows Jesus' authority and power as the King, and the book of Revelation shows where and what Jesus, who has seven horns, is doing. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. "Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads." In the eternal kingdom of heaven, the Lamb Jesus Christ is accompanied by 144,000 of his followers. All the saints he saved, including you and me, are also with him there. Even at this moment, the resurrected Lord is here with us, and we are present with him where he is. However, it's important to remember that the Lamb Jesus Christ is also the judge of this evil world. Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. "Calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" The resurrected Jesus became the Savior of his church. However, in this world, he is also a judge. In the book of Revelation, starting from chapter 6, Jesus, the Lamb, opens the seven seals of a scroll that he received from God. As each seal is opened, a series of events unfold, including the sound of seven trumpets and the pouring of seven bowls. These events are divine judgments that fall upon the whole world. Ultimately, the book concludes with the arrival of a new heaven and a new earth. Throughout redemptive history, God's judgment has often been accompanied by salvation for his people. For instance, during Noah's flood, God judged the world with water, but saved Noah and his family, bringing them to the new heaven and new earth. Similarly, during the Exodus, God poured out 10 plagues to judge the land of Egypt, but he saved the Israelites from the plagues and brought them to the land of Canaan. In the same way, after Jesus returns, the final judgment will commence and the world will fall into further judgment. However, all of God's people will be saved and will reach the eternal glory of heaven. This process has already begun during the current church age, as final salvation and judgment are already underway, leading us towards the final judgment day when Jesus returns. On that day, we will all reach the glory of heaven. Believers who live in this church age spiritually belong to the kingdom of Jesus and live under his rule. However, there will still be hardships and trials on this earth. For example, there will be pain in childbirth. We won't face judgment in our lives, but we might have to go through the pain of giving birth. In the end, the glory of eternal heaven awaits us, where the resurrected Lamb Jesus Christ is waiting for us. We will all be transformed into the image of his glory. He tells us to overcome hardships and trials, such as the pain of childbirth, with faith that looks forward to that day. Lastly, verse 7 reminds us of this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is depicted as taking a scroll from the right hand of God who sits on the throne. This event serves as an assurance of our salvation. Jesus has received all authority in heaven and earth from God and now rules over everything. As he opens the seven seals of the scroll one by one, he is carrying out the work of final salvation and judgment that he has already accomplished. The scroll that Jesus holds is referred to as two types of books in Revelation 20, the Book of Deeds and the Book of Life. Sinners are judged by the Book of Deeds, which records their works in detail, while the Book of Life contains the names of the saints saved by the grace of Jesus. Our resurrected Lord is leading all of history by carrying out the final work of salvation and judgment in the last days. Therefore, Jesus tells us to live as conquerors, giving him all thanks, praise, and glory. Our names are written in the Book of Life, and only grace will he bring us to the glory of heaven. At the end of chapter 5, we are encouraged to sing a hymn of gratitude, no matter what life we face until that day. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped.